Gorman is on the road working, and James is at work, couldn't get away, so. Alright. Everybody had a chance to look at the minutes from February 12th, 2018 meeting?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Alright, any public comment? Seeing none? Verbal of reports, there are none. There are no bills and purchase requests this month. We're moving on to the resolution authorizing park and recreation grants and fact sheet. Anybody have any questions?
So just the annual grant that we do every year, we're starting to building $10.35 million again this year. We had 30 municipalities come and make requests, and it was passed unanimously on Friday at the PEP commission meeting. I missed one signature though, I will say.
We don't have that.
It's not here.
Is that in there?
We got one.
It's in there.
Yeah.
It's in there. This is the annual PEP grant.
Oh, okay.
If you'd like to see a summary of whatever you applied, I could get you that.
You got it right there.
Is this the one that, they do like round one, and then if there's money left over, they no, that's something else?
No, that's.
That's, we do one big round, it's based off of 0.1% of sales tax. We voted on back in 2000, and I created the Metro East Park and Rec District. The sales tax comes in there, it comes to us. St. Clair County has a similar grant, but we operate ours a little differently. We get all that money in, and we pump it right back out to the communities.
The other one you're talking about, the environmental grant off usage fees from landfill.
Jimmy Charles, is Jimmy?
Jimmy Gog, yes.
And who else?
Jimmy and Tom McRae, and then Mark Rosenzahn from Highland.
Yeah, I know Mark.
And Bob Barnhart from Alton, and,
Ron Pratt.
Yeah, they missed it on the back there.
Anybody else have any questions, comments, concerns?
I just want to say I'm really happy to see, how the homeless are being taken care of. I drive in areas where you used to see them sleeping in doorways in that downtown Granite. I don't see that anymore, and I'm just so pleased with this committee and the operation. Thank you.
Yep, doing that next. Alright, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Alright, Judy?
Yes.
Gussie?
Yes.
Erica?
Yes.
Aye.
Ellen? Bruce?
Aye.
Liz?
Yes.
Kristen?
Yes.
Next up is a resolution authorizing Madison County, Illinois to join the St. Louis Area Regional Council on Homelessness and a memorandum of understanding. You're up.
Good afternoon. So last month I was here and we did not have the memorandum of understanding. We have a copy of that now. I'd be happy to entertain any questions about that. Also, just wanted to let you know that in the process of working in this regional, Jeremy?
Has the organization been formed?
Well, this is part of the organization formation, is the memo and all of the jurisdictions and signing the memo agreeing to begin the organization. So,
I guess this is about joining the organization, but has the organization been formed?
Well, I guess it's maybe more of a chicken or an egg thing, which is first. We're signing a memorandum of understanding to agree to form the council with these other two. We haven't technically been formed because there's no agreement. So, does that help?
I think we discussed this last month.
Oh, yeah. So this is just part of the formation then?
Correct. This is the initial step to create the organization.
Right.
basically, we're going to be a charter member of the creation of this organization.
Right.
Yes. Whoever signs the agreement will become part of it.
Will become part of it, yes. We're a charter member now. And if they form it later, we'll just come in and have to go by whatever they say. We have to say the creation of it now.
Correct. Right, so there are no bylaws or anything that have been created up to this point. We're creating the membership of the council first. So there'll be representatives from a variety of areas of expertise, for lack of a better word. And I'm going to be part of that from the continuum of care perspective. But then there will also be a government appointed member of this council that will come from the county board. And then each of the jurisdictions will have representatives from, say, law enforcement, education, health care, and the representation will be equal across the different jurisdictions. So it won't be St. Louis heavy, it won't be St. Clair County heavy, it won't be Madison County heavy. It will be equal jurisdiction, equal representation amongst those jurisdictions. During this process, the group that has been meeting to discuss the formation of this council has talked to other jurisdictions around the country. Chicago, Atlanta, Baltimore, Austin, Texas have all done things similar to this in their regional metropolitan areas, so that you've got different continuums of care joining together to try to solve problems more collectively and collaboratively as a group.
Sounds to me though you have a group of members, but one of the members, you haven't formed the organization yet.
I think we kind of went through that last one, didn't we?
In order to have the membership, the organization form, we have to have members agreeing to form the organization.
Right. Not bylaws at this point?
Not at this point, no. That's going to be created by this council of representatives that's formed out of the different jurisdictions.
Still sounds like you're agreeing to join something that hasn't been formed yet.
But we kind of had this conversation last month.
This is forming it. These 25 members, am I correct? We're forming it now.
Correct.
That's what you're doing with these members.
Okay.
So we can either help form it, or we can join later when it's already informed, and then we have no say in how it's formed,
right,
the bylaws.
Right.
This gives
right.
us a seat at the table and a voice into that.
Mm-hmm. If we decide we don't want to be a part of it later, how do we get out?
60-day written notice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then if
we decide we don't want to be part of it at all, then it's not the end of the world either.
So at this point, there's no money resources that are dedicated. It's just
my time. The MOU will be effective on the date it is signed by all parties. So yes, it hasn't been created yet, but when the MOU has been signed by all parties, you have an organization.
You have an organization.
We
have.
Yeah.
There you go.
And if you don't want to be in it, 60 days, get you out.
60 days, yeah. It's in there.
You read the fine print, didn't you?
What?
Like the fine print, yeah.
Yeah, I've signed a lot of MOUs in my union work, so.
How does the other members feel? Anybody like to make a motion?
It's been positive in these other areas, like Chicago.
Yes. Yeah, of course, anytime you're working with large groups, there's always going to be problems and hurdles to overcome. But those groups work well together. I'm more familiar with the Chicago group than I am with any of the others. And Chicago is a very much larger jurisdiction than St. Louis, so that's a large area to cover, and they have really improved their service delivery through a lot of these discussions and collaborations. So yeah, I think it's nothing but a positive.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing more than a regional approach to homelessness.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, we have a regional approach to economic development. We have regional approaches to transportation. Mm-hmm. This is a regional approach to homelessness.
Well, we both have the problem on both sides of the river.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have the problem with the same people on both sides of the river.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, and this is a sharing of information between both sides.
Correct.
To track some of these individuals.
St. Louis has money to put towards it.
St. Louis has coughed up, I want to say $800,000 so far for this process. It's part of a planning grant that they get from HUD. HUD is encouraging this regionalization and collaboration. The city has paid the bill to this point. The United Way has been involved as well. They're kind of the overarching group that's kind of region or locally that's making sure the ball keeps moving, the momentum keeps moving. So we have them on our side as well.
Yes.
I move that we sign the agreement to join this organization, organization.
I'll do a roll call even though it's not an expenditure. Judy?
Yes.
Jesse?
Yes.
Erica?
Yes.
Ella?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Chrissy?
Yes.
All right. Next, administrative reports. Employment training, Tony, you're up.
So February 28th, we had the marketing presentations, the MBA classes, the four small groups. Ann was your rep from the grants committee there, reliving her academic days, so I think she enjoyed it. We've got some good ideas. We've started to work on some things. First thing that I'm doing, again, at no cost to us, I'm sitting down Wednesday with Cynthia Ellis to try to develop a PR plan. We get things out occasionally about what's going on in employment and training, but I want something a little more structured and to look at some different medium to get things out, that way people know what's going on. The main purpose today, I have Sarah Ray Lorio with me. She's our workplace learning coordinator. That's a fancy title for her. She works with the businesses. So I wanted her to take a couple minutes and explain what we do specifically with businesses of Madison County. So take it away, Sarah.
So we have funding for our office. It's the WIOA funding. It's Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. It's federal funds that come down to the state, that then come down to our workforce area, and there's a set-aside fund percentage of that funding that is available for businesses. There are two different grant programs that we work with, or funding programs that we work with through the WIOA funding. And if you open up your folder, on the left side, it's just the general services that our office provides. The first flyer on your left is just talks about what we do for anyone that's looking for training. So we can assist with tuition, fees, uniform, graduation assistance, or costs, career counseling, job search assistance, just basically what we do in the office for anyone that's looking to find employment or possibly go back to school for training, for vocational training. So the first page is just a flyer. This is an updated one, and we're still working out some new materials, like Tom stated. The second form on the left is just our services at a glance. So at the top is universal services that anybody that walks in our resource room, what they can access. And then it talks a little bit about dislocated workers, low income eligibility, things like that. On the right side of the packet is all of the business information. So this first flyer on the right just talks about what we do for businesses. We provide recruitment assistance for businesses in Madison and Bond County. That's small businesses, large businesses. It can be a mom and pop operation with just a couple of employees. Sometimes, you know, a small business won't have a HR staff to help them figure out what they need to be paying employees or what the market is, what the going wage rates are for anyone that they're trying to hire, or they may not know how to put together a job description and how to get that out to the public. So we help them with that. So we have a number of ways that we can provide recruitment assistance, whether it's just putting together the job description, emailing it out to our network with an email blast. We can add that to our Facebook page, to our department's website, and we can also share that with our regional partners. So that's part of the emails that go out. So things don't just get shared in Madison County. They go out to St. Clair, St. Louis, St. Charles, and we share information vice versa with those other counties as well. So we do the recruitment assistance. We can also help and have some businesses may want to have a hiring event, but they don't want to interrupt their daily operations at their facility. So we can do that on our site in Woodbridge. We can allow them to come in here to one of our conference rooms, our large basement space, or that we can reserve the Manly Auditorium over there for them as well. So we coordinate those activities, and we also help market those for them. We can provide labor market information, so if they're trying to figure out what they need to be paying for a competitive wage rate in the area, we can help them find that information. We can do testing for companies. We've done a number of testing dates for Phillips 66 in the past. We are getting ready to do some of that for U.S. Steel. So we're in talks with them right now, getting that scheduled, and trying to help market the positions that are available. Applicants can, anybody that's looking for a job at U.S. Steel can apply online right now. That's how they're accepting all applications. They have not scheduled the testing yet, but that's the only way they can get to the testing is to do an online application currently. So they're hiring a number of positions. I think it's 300 and right now we're hearing 345 new union positions. And then 30 to 40 salary positions as well. So we're helping them out with that. That's the testing. And then we also have the two programs for funding that I mentioned are on-the-job training. That's going to be the second flyer in the packet. On-the-job training is to help businesses pay for the training of new employees that don't necessarily have the experience necessary for that position, so either the work experience or the skills needed for the position. So we've done a number of on-the-job training contracts with Worldwide Technologies in the past. We can do this with small businesses or large businesses. We just need to get the paperwork done before the first day for that new employee. So it's a way for the company to get 50% of the training costs reimbursed to them directly. So we would write a check directly to the company to reimburse them for that training. No, just any company that we do on-the-job training with. Yeah, so we don't have any currently with them. It's really just based on the company's interest with the program. So we just need to do this. We handle the screening to see if the job seeker is actually eligible for the program. They have to be WIOA eligible, or they have to be considered a dislocated worker. So either receive an eligible layoff or meet the income eligibility requirements. So our office does a screening for that. We do the contract for the on-the-job training, and then we also do the monitoring, on-site monitoring. It's very simple for businesses, though. It's very streamlined, so it's not complicated at all. The maximum amount of hours that can be reimbursed is 1,040, and so that usually equals out to about six months max. We don't tell the companies that we want them to necessarily put together a training plan. You know, if it's going to be, if 3 months is what they normally train folks, then that's what it would be for. But it's a great way for businesses to cut down on costs to be able to bring in new employees. It is tied to a full-time position, so if they've been doing layoffs, they're not eligible, and if it's not a full-time permanent position, then it's not eligible. So there's more information on that on the second page. On the third page, it talks about our incumbent worker training program. And this is training for existing employees at businesses. And it's usually done in groups. We've done five of these here recently. Three companies, five contracts. And these are bigger dollar contracts, usually not, they average between $12,000 to $25,000 or $30,000. We've been working with IMEC, Illinois Manufacturing Excellence Center. They've been putting together the training programs and then connecting us in on the funding side of things. So this is for businesses. We've worked with Aggressive Graphics, or are working with Aggressive Graphics in St. Jacob. We've worked with Imperial Manufacturing in Alton. We've done a number of contracts with them. So it's really about, incumbent worker training is about skilling up the existing workforce so that that business remains competitive, so that they don't, you know, they don't lose out in the market if they don't skill up their employees to stay competitive. So with that program, it's great because sometimes it will lead to the advancement of those employees. They might get a promotion, and then there are positions to backfill with new jobs. So that's incumbent worker training. And the way we've done that is we actually pay the training provider directly. That's been streamlined. We've also done it to where we've paid the company, and then they have paid the training provider. So far, we've just worked with IMEC. And it is open to the company providing the training themselves as well. And then, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, people that have been laid off, are some of them being called back? Are they, you're training them too? Or?
So anyone that's been laid off would be eligible, like anybody from Granite City Steel that had been laid off in the past was eligible for trade assistance. And so we've been working with them since the last layoffs. Anytime a company has large layoffs, or even when they have smaller
but
layoffs.
The company doesn't make it a requirement that they have to do it,
No. No, it's up to the individual whether, you know, if they're out in the and looking for other employment, or if they actually want to go back and go to school to try to get some sort of certificate or degree. And then the next flyer is about apprenticeship programs. Apprenticeships are really, they're employer driven, so it's the business's baby. We can connect some of our funding into that with the on-the-job training portion. We can connect into apprenticeships, but those are really owned and operated by the businesses themselves. We can just help them with the coordination of that, and then, like I said, connect our funding to that. But there's a number of different ways that you can set them up, and it's very specific to each company and how they want to run it. And then we just have a flyer about business startup resources for our office as well. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you. Good job. Anything else, Tom?
I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done.
Good job, Tom.
I learned a long time ago, talk less than the people who know what they're talking about.
Development update.
Well, I have two things. One, I've gotten a lot of questions from board members about our membership here with Southwest Leadership Council, and also with the St. Louis Regional Chamber. We pay each of those organizations $30,000 to do membership. I didn't get the information from the St. Louis Regional Chamber. I hoped to have that today, but they didn't get it to me. But this one is for the Southwest Leadership Council, and our membership with them is up the end of April. So we need to make a decision, and I'm not asking you for a decision tonight. Mostly I brought it for discussion so we can decide what we want to do next month. But so you could kind of read up on it. This is what I'd asked for them to kind of outline for me what it is we get for $30,000. And so this is what they've put together. And it outlines on there also that there's an individual membership that's $1,900. And within the county, we have a county membership where we pay $30,000. Other counties also have had a membership. I think St. Clair may be reconsidering it's just one of those things people keep saying, what do we get for that $30,000? And I said, I don't know, I'm new, let me find out. asked some questions, and this is what we got. So if we want to renew, we have to, we'll need to decide that next month, or if we don't want to renew, I'm not sure if we need a resolution, if we want to cancel, or if we want to renew. Do you guys have thoughts or questions? I think you guys maybe even discussed this prior to me.
Yes.
So, does the chairman set on this?
Yes, so with the county membership, apparently we get two seats at the table, Tony and Kirk. So I keep telling Tony he should be paying for it out of his budget, so not mine. But
so don't you have an individual?
We do not. I tracked that down. I thought we did, but we do not.
They don't. So. Yeah. So
didn't St. Clair County drop out of this, or am I wrong?
They are in the process of seriously considering it.
Yeah, that's so what I thought.
They.
I asked.
Can't.
I asked. I met with the guy who runs their, who leads their economic development committee, and I asked him about. I said, so we have like East West Gateway, and we have Southwest Leadership, and we have San Luis Regional Chamber, and I said, so tell me what's the difference? And he said, well, I think there's really a lot of overlap. I think so too, but it seems like a lot of money that we could use elsewhere, but yeah, I'm new, so I haven't got a long track record with them.
For me personally, there's a benefit to if the county says we're not going to do this again, I will use funds out of my budget to pay for an individual membership for the employment training division, because there are contacts to be made that I'm already working with that are beneficial to my department. So,
and I think we would probably do that as well. Mm-hmm. I think, gosh, you know, if we did individual memberships, we could send 15 people from the county.
Yeah. But that would keep the line of communication.
That is
right. So yeah. We still have a seat, but we just pay, $26,000 less.
Yeah.
Individual.
Yeah.
Individual. They still need to be.
Because I think.
Yeah.
I didn't see that we'd get a lot that we wouldn't get without with just the individual membership, but.
I would agree. I think that's what you're buying with the $30,000 membership or two seats at the board of directors.
Mm-hmm. So you're better off just getting some
different. Right, because you're considered a board of director and an individual membership. Every member is considered a board of director.
So you're better off getting.
I don't know if you have a seat at the decision-making table or not.
No, it's an appointed.
Yeah, it's the executive committee people. Mm-hmm. That's the executive committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of like the idea to know what we are getting for our money.
Yeah, and that's what's outlined here. That's what I asked for, so that's what they put together in these 10 pages.
Well, so many times you'll read, this committee has started. 10 years later, different people are appointed. Nothing is done. I've watched this for 50 years, and so finally, someone's saying, what are we getting for our money? And that's good. Very good.
Questions? Or I guess, did you say if we don't want to renew, we don't have to do anything in terms of resolution? We just let lapse? Is that okay? I'm not sure what the resolution does.
So then we would apply individually for that?
Correct.
Okay. More and more, St. Clair County is really considering not doing this countywide and doing individuals. We're not the only ones.
Miss out on by not doing that anyone can even think of?
I'm really not sure what
the advantage is, I think, in the body, Rhonda Sojay talks about the chairman has the opportunity to speak at every meeting, but every meeting, everybody stands up, introduces themselves, and has a chance to talk about what's going on in their organization for a couple minutes anyway. So if that's the selling point, it's not a real strong selling point to me. So.
Well, as members of, honestly, I've been down there to it, and as members who belong to it, of this, it's not part of the county. They say it's the Chamber of Commerce on steroids.
Really?
Anybody you would ever want at your Chamber of Commerce event is there. And that's what it is. It's like a very large Chamber of Commerce event. Mm-hmm. With a lot of movers and shakers. I mean, there's reasons to be there. But
to do it as an individual seems so much smarter.
Yeah, I don't see the benefit, quite honestly, between me having an individual membership or employment and training having that membership, mm-hmm. as opposed to what the county's getting for the extra, like you said, $26,000.
Yeah. So we just got to get you in the room.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah. Well, Kurt wanted to do it. He could pay the fee that you're paid, mm-hmm. right?
True. Yeah. I mean.
Anybody else have any comments, concerns, questions?
No.
I mean, we're just discussing, so.
Yeah. When you're the $30,000 member, can you bring guests?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can bring.
Like, is that ever? I'm just trying to figure out why we. If there's really no benefit, why did we not?
Kurt can bring one guest.
Can bring guests with him.
My understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong or if you know something different, that it kind of started. Surrounding the Air Force base and trying mm-hmm. to save the Air Force
yeah,
base.
That's
and
one
so
of the big
counties
things
really came together. And then base. I think it's just continued on from there. And so I think that maybe that's originally what the big mm-hmm. sums of money were that the counties were investing.
Right. Yeah, that's one of their big things they're tuning mm-hmm. in here, that they help save the base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, most of the mayors from the area, they all go to it, or the council mm-hmm. people. I mean, it's kind of a networking evening is what it amounts to.
Yeah. And then when I get information from the St. Louis Regional Chamber, I'll bring that as well so you can see.
There have been times when we dropped out of that, especially mm-hmm. when they were having their controversies with some of their directors. Yeah.
Well, they're directorless now.
Yeah. Well, they're having another controversy, but yeah. I go back to the Dick Fleming days, so.
That's when we dropped out.
Yes.
Well, I think St. Clair County is also seriously considering not renewing their membership with the regional chamber. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are discussions that this committee's had ever since I've been on at the committee. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, okay, what do we get now? Should we do it or should we not do it? And I said, when the chamber was having some problems, we did drop out for a year, not two.
How does everybody feel about this? Should we stay in it as a county or just do individual memberships?
I think just do individual. It's a whole lot cheaper and you get the same benefit out of it.
The same voice, it sounds.
Well, I think once we need to make the comparison and make sure we're not missing out on anything. Individually versus county, you know, there's a lot in here that says what the county get and the individual. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to make the comparison and make sure we're not going to be missing out on anything as a county by going individual.
Right.
Because it specifically tells you what you do and don't get in the different memberships. Mm-hmm. But we need to make sure to keep that voice, to make sure we have a voice. Madison County has a voice in what happens. So before we make a decision, let's do the comparison and make sure.
Maybe table this until we do know.
Well, no, we're not taking any action. We're just talking about it.
Oh, okay.
I think we did it in May or June.
Yeah, last year it was after I was purchasing. It was June or July when we made the payment.
Yeah, we just paid late last year.
Also, if we do re-up as a county, we can always try to renegotiate the cost.
We've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And switch departments.
Did they lower it?
Yes.
Tony's not gonna be around.
It's something I thought about too, is, you know.
That might have been, I'm not sure if it was this or the chamber, but we got it and cut it.
Got it cut
in half.
But I mean, that's something that's possible to do.
Yeah, that's happened before.
And a renegotiation.
Well, when you don't, we don't re-up this, they're gonna want to know, what's the matter, where are you?
What can we do to carry in?
It's like calling charter.
I was just thinking, I have to call Dish.
Rhonda offered to come and just present to the committee, but then I said, well, just wait on it until, so I thought maybe it'd be better just have some conversation. And then if you want her to come, she's glad to come, and St. Louis Chamber people as well. But.
We had them over one time, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, the St. Louis, they were here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it puts you under more pressure if they're here.
Yes.
With St. Clair County being borderline, if they do decide to re-up, we could join forces with them and both renegotiate our cost. So.
We can pay more 10 leverage. And they can pay 15.
There you go, Judy. I guess, for next time, if we could have an idea of what benefits you get off being an individual member.
Well, it's in here, so.
Do our homework.
I kind of asked
you just
her
to read all
points, but she gave me.
I don't have it in front of me.
They put the individual membership as a paragraph. You know, the rest of it is the.
Even some of the stuff, though, that she lists as benefits to us, we kind of read some of that and said, we can do that ourselves, or we are doing that ourselves. We didn't necessarily, feel like we needed their assistance in it.
And it was a lot more important whenever Scott was having so much trouble, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's likely to come back someday,
True.
The base brack rolls around every so often, so.
Is it courteous to give them a heads up that we are considering this, or
I would guess she knows because I just kept saying I'm getting a lot of questions. Can you please can you just put it in writing for me so I have something to take, and so I'm sure in the back of her mind at least she knows that we're looking at it, and I think you guys looked at it in the past even when it came due. And,
I think there was a lot of questions last year. Like you said, it didn't get renewed till June or July. So.
I'm going to look at this, but I'm going to tend to listen to what you folks have to say. I've never been to this thing. I don't know what's going on at these meetings.
It's a social event.
It's a social event. Well,
the meetings are more for me. The meetings are more for the networking than the actual meeting. So I mean. They bring in speakers and all that. It's once a month breakfast meetings, and then once a year they have this banquet or whatever, which is next week at Four Point Sheraton. But the monthly meetings are more who's there and who you can talk to about what's going on and what you can possibly do, as opposed to actually what they're talking about at the front of the room, quite honestly.
They have subcommittees.
Well, you can do that on a golf course for a lot cheaper.
About yours, see me play golf.
I don't play golf.
Have plenty of time to talk.
Yeah.
They meet once a month, but there's the leadership council, board of directors meeting, and then like I said, 10 subcommittees, from economic development to the base to the levies to manufacturing.
So, and those subcommittees,
it's a lot of meetings.
I've been to the manufacturing one, and there are benefits there because there really is a big push in the whole training of manufacturing, and so we need to be at the table for that to understand. Mm-hmm. So there's a benefit, but you get that with the individual.
You could do that as an individual.
Yeah, right, mm-hmm.
Well, listening to you folks, I'm starting to coach to the side that we don't really need this. I don't know.
Well, I think Tony and I are in agreement that it's good to be part of it, but I think the individual memberships, we could each buy individual memberships. We could sign up me and James and Tony and Sarah and still save,
$20,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And have, more people that could go and participate. Still save quite a bit.
That makes a lot of sense.
I mean, we're not going to take action on this tonight anyway.
Well, I can
give everybody some time to think about it.
Confirm your resolution next month, I guess, for individual memberships. And if you change your mind in there, you can just make sure vote no on that one and then come back. Mm-hmm. If that sounds okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. You all get their emails?
No.
From
this group.
Leadership Council.
No.
You don't? I do. Their updates from her, you know, this is what's going on in the area. It's like reading the newspaper all over again. I mean, I've seen basically everything in the newspaper. But
I just got one at 317.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I probably got one too. I tend not to read them through because I said most of the stuff she posts is stuff that's been in
been
general
in
public already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. The other thing that I sort of for discussion, and this gentleman here, Atticus, we've been offered an incentive plan through Ameren. They're offering it throughout the state, and he's going to help explain it. So again, not asking to take action on this tonight, but it's would work in conjunction with our weatherization program, so give us more dollars to further that program. And I'll let you explain it, but this this is a sort of a working document, so it's not a done deal yet. We've sent it up to Jim Shrimp to look at, but all across the state they're looking at this and tweaking still, so it's mostly in line, but they are making a few changes here and there. So if you see something you don't like, it's still up for discussion, I think.
Great, excellent.
Thank you.
And nice to meet you guys. I'm Atticus Stillman with a company called Resource Innovations. And we're an energy efficiency consulting firm that was contracted by Ameren, Illinois to help manage a portion of their energy efficiency program funding. And so, you know, within the state of Illinois, the utilities are mandated to reduce energy use by a certain amount. And then with that, they basically collect money from ratepayers, pull that into energy efficiency funding, and then give that to ratepayers in the form of incentives. And so that goes to residential, commercial, industrial customers. And so as part of that, there is a kind of set aside portion of this incentive funding that is being used to basically supplement the state weatherization funding. So the state and federal grants that are currently used for weatherization funding, primarily through community action agencies across the state. And so Ameren, Illinois is basically through discussions with DCO, the state organization that administers that funding, basically came to an agreement on how Ameren, Illinois' incentive funds could be added to those state and federal funds right now to basically provide more funding to the administrators of the weatherization program to treat more customers. And get energy savings associated with those projects that would meet Ameren, Illinois' goals of hitting their energy savings targets. So with that, you know, Resource Innovations has begun discussions with the administrators of the weatherization program to basically outline how the Ameren, Illinois funding would be combined with the existing funding, how the administrators would be able to apply for that funding after the fact, and as such, we put together an agreement, which is what you guys saw all in front of you. So we drafted this agreement to work with the agency partners, basically to say, this is what would be required to participate. It's an agreement, not a contract. So there's no penalty if an administrator doesn't participate at all. They could sign it and then not do anything, and there wouldn't be a penalty. But we do ask that if a participating agency does want to use the Ameren, Illinois funds to add to the weatherization funding, that they meets general program guidelines. And so a lot of these are around like marketing materials. And so if you're going to use the Ameren, Illinois logo, you get approval first. It is going to be, you know, there's going to be an additional application where you would need to submit additional data to Ameren, Illinois so that they could basically kind of process your project, pay you for the portion of that project, and then claim energy savings as they're supposed to within the state. And so what this agreement does basically is outlines what are those guidelines that we would ask agency partners to meet if they were going to use this funding. And then basically, what is the amount of funding that is set aside for each of the administrators of the weatherization programs? And so as you scroll through the agency agreement, you'll see towards the end there are several exhibits that really outline the total amount of funding that is available for each agency partner. And so the way that was determined is basically Ameren set aside about $3.7 million to fund this program. And then that amount of money was split based on the proportion that individual agencies got of the state and federal funding of dollars. So for instance, if you got 5% of the state funding, you would get 5% of the Ameren Illinois funding associated with this. And so so for Madison County, the total is approximately $200,000. And that is inclusive of both material and labor that is associated with doing the project, as well as program support and administration dollars that go to the agencies. And so the program support and administration dollars are in line with the same approach that's basically taken within the state right now within the weatherization program. So what we've done is, you know, we've drafted this initial agreement. We've given that to our agency partners. We've asked that they submit feedback to us by Tuesday, so tomorrow. And then we are going to update the agreement based on that feedback and then issue kind of a final agreement for agencies by this Friday. And so from that, I think that that would be the final document that would be used to determine if this is an initiative that Madison County wants to participate in. But the total amount of dollars, those really wouldn't change, at least to start. There's just some guideline language that some of the agencies would like to change. One thing I'd also like to note is that if we are successful, kind of as an agency group, and we're able to spend out this money and really achieve the targets successfully, there would be potential for more incentive funding from Ameren Illinois through their energy efficiency programs.
Yeah. Is this the second generation of Ameren's Acton Energy program?
Yeah, it's very similar.
Okay, yes. That's what I thought. And also, there's a number of different areas that qualify for the funding. I know you're talking about just weatherization for community development, but there's electrical upgrades for lighting, for heating, for air conditioning. There's also, and I deal with it on the industrial sector, there's steam traps, there's compressed air. There's all kinds of stuff that the county could actually take advantage of on this program to invest in their own assets.
Exactly.
And get funding from Ameren through this program. And I know you're just talking about grants to hand out, but be aware that the county could take advantage of this with boilers and lighting. I don't know what lighting we got in here, but lighting upgrades, a lot of times those are funded as much as 75% when you change them out by Ameren. So you can do some retrofitting and some upgrades throughout the county.
I don't know about these lights, but we did a lot of lighting with the stimulus money.
Right.
It has been replaced already.
Yeah, so, but there are other opportunities with this program, and I work for the Council of Owners and Construction Associates, COPEC. And Joe Birschbach is, you know Joe?
I do.
Okay, well, he's going to come and speak at my quarterly meeting in March on this very program for my industrial owners and contractors. So that's how I know a little bit about it.
Oh, we're just, like we said, it's informational. We need to know if we need a resolution to do this or not so we can get some more money to help some more clients. It will benefit the program. We'll be able to do more homes, more clients. So.
You're comfortable that you could meet all the stuff?
You do all the paperwork?
Heavier. Yeah, I mean, it's
actually not
the first year is rough because their program goes January 1 through December 31st. Ours is July 1st through June 30th. So we've already kind of lost out, but if we all agree to it and we can do it, we can go retroactive back to January 1.
And add funds to those projects.
And then free up some federal funds and we can do more homes with those federal funds. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing out of the ordinary. We already do all this every day.
Right. So the stuff I saw on here looks like it's
definitely up
there. It just helps, like I said, more clients. get their homes under good
condition. Yeah, obviously I haven't read it all, but it seems like a pretty good program to me.
Yeah. Keep in mind, it's already paid for because it comes right off your power bill.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You can automatically charge for it on your power bill anyway, so you're left with the money.
So, Clint, would we need a resolution to do this? You want to send this thing to you that
I would do a resolution. Just to be sure.
I don't know. But they get, do they buy something?
I know lots of things. Yeah.
Given your question too, if Highland has their own electricity corporation, but they get their natural gas from Amherst, they still qualify.
Exactly.
They still qualify for the gas portion of it.
Not electric. Because they're not Amherst.
Okay. Would you have to have different companies that we use now for these weatherization programs?
Right now, my contracts run through the end of June. We would probably re-procure for some contractors. Amron's side is not going to pay for any of the mechanical stuff, so the contractors I'm using now are called mechanical. We have in-house crews that do all this work.
Okay.
So worst case scenario is I may have to bring on a second crew, and that's always bounced back and forth. So. Mm-hmm.
How long was this for?
Yeah, great point. And so the funding, so the energy efficiency funding, where this money comes from, has been funded for 4 years. Okay. And so until 20 and in 2021. And so this would be a four-year agreement. The funding levels within the document that were just for this 1 year. And so those would be updated annually.
So are they going to other states doing this? Or?
So for this, it's just within Illinois. Ameren, Missouri has similar energy efficiency programs. Missouri.
Now, is it my understanding that within that four-year time frame, if for some reason we decide to back out, we can?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, if at any point it didn't seem like this program was working, you could definitely pull out and there would be no penalty. Mm-hmm. It really is just setting aside funding and the structure for how you'd be able to achieve it.
Mm-hmm. What if you're overperforming? Can somebody's underperforming, can you get access to those ones?
Yeah, so we have a mechanism there. So if you see in the agreement, basically what we did is we determined a full year's allocation, so say it was 200,000. And basically at the start of the program year, guaranteed 60% of that. And so that is for sure what you know you can get if you plan to. That other 40% across all the agencies is basically unallocated and then would be able to be shifted based on performance. And so if an agency was overperforming and another one was underperforming, we'd be able to shift funds to the overperforming one. But then additionally, if all of the partners are overperforming, there'd be potential to shift additional funding from the energy efficiency portfolio into this program.
And also in there, if you can, right now it's capped at $3,500 per client. They're back at the drawing board with possibly raising that.
So. What are you doing per client right now?
Average?
The average per client now for everything is just under $11,000. With this, it breaks down to light bulbs, energy efficient stuff. I'd have to go back and see exactly what we paid out of that. But off the top of my head, we're probably paying at least $3,000 to $4,000 for everything that's listed on there.
Still working through, all the questions, but
we still have questions, and we will. But I think personally, I think it's doable. It brings more money in for us. If it gets to where it's overwhelming, paperwork-wise or whatever, like you said, we can always say
back out.
Mm-hmm. But the federal funds always getting cut just kind of helps to keep it going.
How does the board feel? Bring it back to next time, form of a resolution.
Sounds good to me.
Hopefully we'll have the final agreement.
And if I can just tell you, so I've been to a couple of things now in Springfield, these all day meetings they take me to, about weatherization, and I hear nothing but glowing reports from our state, the state workers that we work with about Nassau County and the weatherization programs. They just continue to tell me we have one of the best weatherization programs in the state. They fight over who gets to come and work with us because they know it'll be an easy day compared to going to other places that they have to work with. So
that's great.
Lots of compliments from the state.
Yeah, it is. It's okay.
It's great.
Anything else? All right. Anybody have any comments? If not, motion to adjourn.
I would like to say how happy we are at Granite City Steel to employ the 500 people.
Yes.
As a community leader there, I've had opened up Tecumseh Township when they closed the first time. The saddest thing is to see that ribbon all over that place, because we always knew if something would happen with the steel mill, that Granite City might as well roll up the streets. And it was beginning to look that way. Now we're on the up. Mm-hmm. Who and all that had things to do with that, I just publicly thank them, because that's just so important to our entire, not just Granite City, but all the other areas around that employ those people. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Need a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Hey, you still guys. 3 minutes to get down.